Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning. How are you today? Are you doing okay? Can you do something? Would you look at the person next to you and just give them a big smile, would you? Just push it out there. Just, yeah, buddy. Woo! I brush these teeth for a reason. Amen. Good stuff. All right, well, I'm excited to get into the Word. Are you excited to grow in God today? Let's push ourselves. Let's grow up a little bit. Amen. Welcome everybody watching on the internet right now. Good morning. God bless you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Everybody go ahead and welcome them. Welcome them. All right. I'm in a good mood today. You want to join me? All right, let's do it. Grab your Bibles, hold those up in the air, and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Actually, last night I had to borrow Pastor Brock's Bible because I couldn't find mine. And so I was lying. I was saying, this is my Bible. But that wasn't true. So I had to get that off my chest because it wasn't true. I should have said, this is Brock's Bible. I believe what it says. But now this is my Bible. And I'm good again. So, all right, open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 7. We're in a series entitled Grit. Grit. And while you're getting to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord's been putting a phrase in my heart over the last few weeks about our assignment here at Life Church and kind of what we're about. We talk about equipping people to live an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationship, but we began to define a little bit more what a life in Christ is. You know, in Christ, He makes you King's kids. Can I get an amen on that? You're royalty, amen? And we are saved by grace. By grace, He makes you royal. By grace, He makes you kings and queens. And so when we're equipping you to live, we're equipping you to live like kings and queens. We're raising kings. You see what I'm saying? And so the messages, the courses we deliver or offer, the mentorship programs, the phrase that keeps churning in my spirit, which I want you to receive today, is raising kings. We don't birth them. Jesus births them. But He gives us the responsibility as a church to raise you and to teach you how to reign as a king in life. Amen? Because there's so much that you have potential to accomplish and to become and to do, and we get that wonderful privilege to raise you and to teach you how to rule and reign in life as a king and a nation of kings and priests. Now in that, the heartbeat of God is this. It's time for the kings to start getting things done in the earth. To not be just starters, but be finishers. Amen. Because the responsibility of the direction of the planet is in the hands of the children of God, into the king's kids. We're bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. Is this making sense? So it's really important that we know how to set goals, create plans, create pathways and steps to accomplish those plans, and we're faithful with grit to stick with it when it's tough, when it gets long and there's attack and opposition and persecution. It's important that the kings, that's you, are finishers. That's where we're going in this series. That's why we're talking about grit. We're raising you to reign, and we're helping you finish what God's put in your heart to start. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. This is the Apostle Paul towards the end of his life, and he's talking to young Timothy, a young pastor who he's raising to be a leader in the churches. And Paul, at the end of his life, declares this statement, which is where we're going. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. Life's going to be a fight. It's just part of it. There's an enemy against you. There's a fallen world against you. There's a curse upon the planet that's against you. Life's going to be a fight. So just kind of deal with that, all right? It's going to happen. And how you fight is up to you. And your perspective of the fight is up to you. You can make it a dreary, drudgery fight. Or you can say it's a good fight. And it's a fight we're going to win. It's a fight I'm going to fight every day because it's worth fighting for. Amen. And then Paul says, I finished my course. And that's where we're headed. We need to be people that are long-term finishers, people who know that God has each and every one of us on a course. I personally believe, and I hope you do as well, that you're not here by accident, that you were born into this generation for a divine cause and a divine purpose. If you were supposed to be born 100 years ago, you would have been. God didn't lose that one. You see what I'm saying? God didn't accidentally put you in the wrong generation. You were meant to be born here. You're meant to be born now. You're meant to be who you are, where you are, and where you've come from. Amen. God had plans for you even when you were in your mother's womb. Now, those plans are good plans, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God has a mindset towards you. The Bible says we are saved by grace unto good works that he predestined before the foundation of the world. God has good works in his mind for you to accomplish. So there's a course in God's mind that you must complete. There's a race you must run to win. There are certain dreams and talents. There's certain ambitions that God put in your heart. Those are godly desires to get those things done, to help increase the education of our region, to help transform the economy of your family line and generations, and to employ other people, to bring many people to Christ, to have new and inventive ways to share the gospel with this generation, to help raise young people up. I don't know what the dreams and the goals and the plans in your heart are, but they were put there by God. Amen. And that's your course, and that's your race. And it's one thing to get excited about it. It's another thing to be a finisher and to finish it. There are going to be thousands of reasons on your course or on your race to quit. It's going to be opposition, persecution, just time in general. I'd like to say this just to kind of help you realize that one of the greatest enemies in our lives that bring discouragement is just time. It's not even the devil, and it's not even other people, although they can be a real joy sometimes and lack thereof. But sometimes the greatest friction in slowing us down is time. It's just the long haul mentality. Because there are certain things that are the will of God that, yes, you're doing the right actions, but they just take time to manifest themselves. And will you continue to do the right actions when the days get long? Will you continue to sow the right seed when you're just believing by faith that seed is going to produce that harvest? And so sometimes one of the greatest enemies to defeat in fulfilling the course for your life is just that enemy of time, which can be a discouraging thing. Are you understanding that? And so there could be 1,000 reasons to quit and just a handful of reasons to stay in the game, to stay in the race. And that's where in this series, we want to make sure we're very clear on the reasons why to keep running. Just because there's more reasons to quit than to keep running doesn't make the reasons for staying in wrong. You only need 1 or 2 or 3 reasons to stay in that make it worthwhile. Number one, God called you to it. Number two, if you don't do it, who's losing out? Because you didn't fulfill the dream and the call of God on your life. Amen. Your kids are losing out. The next generation's losing out. And here's the thing about the race. In the race of life, we don't get the prize at the end of the race unless we finish the race. We don't get to enjoy the benefits of winning if we quit halfway through. It's just not the way it works in reality. It may work that way in a Disney channel, but it's not that way in reality. Amen. I don't need a lot of reasons to stay in the race. I just need to know what those reasons are and make sure they're clear and easily accessible in my time of discouragement. We are people of grit, and grit doesn't quit. I know that's a silly little statement, but I hope it just resonates in your spirit over the next week or 2 or 3 or who knows, a year from now, when you're pushing towards the dream of God in your heart, when you're running your course and you're tired and you want to quit, and this little phrase comes back up while you're shaving, grit don't quit. And you're just like, grit don't quit. And then you get a little head bob in it because it's starting to get in your spirit. You know what I mean? And grit don't quit. And grit don't quit. And grit don't quit. What? Grit don't quit. Grit don't quit. And man, you just pick yourself up off the ground and keep going when you could have 1,000 reasons to stop. But you're not a quitter. The kingdom of God and kingdom people are not quitters. Amen. Grit doesn't quit. Now, a lot of the research that I've done for this particular series and some of the evaluations and questions that I'm going to bring to you today come from a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth. But she defined grit as this: sustained passion and perseverance for the long haul. Sustained passion and perseverance for the long haul. That's grit. It's not grit to just get excited about the vision of God or the call of God on your life or fulfilling something in the beginning. That's not grit. A lot of people get excited in the beginning. Grit is the long haul. Grit is in the middle of winter when it gets dark at 12:30 at lunchtime. Grit is when life gets tough. Grit is keeping going when other people aren't going anymore, because they've fallen off the course. They give you all the excuses of why you should give up on the dream of God or the call of God or the mission of God on your life or those plans and purposes, but you just keep resisting their apathy and their lukewarmness because you want to continue to be red hot. And that's a decision that we make. Amen. We don't wait for other people to make us gritty. We choose to finish our course. You realize God can't make you choose to finish your course because you have a free will. And the devil can't make you quit your course. Whether you run or don't run, that's completely up to you. If you choose to use one of those excuses to quit, then just know it was your choice to quit. It wasn't because you had to quit. Amen. You keep running till God calls you home. Can I get an amen for that? Absolutely. Sustain passion and perseverance for the long haul. I gave you 4 questions last week and I'll just quickly touch on them for those that are just catching up, and then you can hear more about them if you go and watch the message from last week. But the four questions to just kind of help you determine the course and to help you run with grit are this. What do you really want? Capital letters, really want. A lot of people have a passing interest in a dream or a goal, and they say, I want to be, let's for instance say, I want to be greater or stronger in God, in godly character. I want to go further in my relationship with God. I really want that. But then the next question is this, why do you really want that? Make sure you know the why behind what it is you want to do. And then the third question is, what is it really going to take to get there? So now you ask yourself the question, if I really want to grow in God this next 12 months, what do I need to do to be able to grow in God in the next 12 months? Like Pastor Ken just challenged us. Do I need to grow in generosity? Do I need to grow in getting into some discipleship systems or programs? Do I need to grow in my time with God? Maybe I don't pray at all during the week and I want to grow this year by praying 3 days a week for at least 30 minutes a day. However that is, but you start creating a curriculum or a pathway or a plan to help you get with that which you really want. Or is that making sense to you? Because if you really want it, you're going to do the research to find out how to get it. Amen. Some people say, I want a better marriage. Do you really want a better marriage? Yes, I do want a better marriage. Great. Why do you want it? We got the why. Now, what's the pathway to that better marriage? And if you really want it, you're going to do the research. That's part of the cost to get the better marriage. But don't say you'll want something if you're not willing to do the work to get it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some people say, I want to get healthier. Well, then what you need to change to get healthier, do the research, and then are you willing, the last question is this, are you willing to pay those costs to get that which you really want? Because if you do the research and find out what it costs, but you're not willing to pay that cost, then do you really want that thing as bad as you said you wanted that thing? Some people say, I want to get out of debt in the next year or in the next 5 years. Well, that's what I really, do you really, really want it? Yes, I really, really want it. And you know why you want it? Yes, I do. What's the pathway to get there? Part of the grittiness, part of this, remember when I say we're raising kings to be finishers, a lot of the kings on the earth, we say we know what we want, but we've never even done the research of how to get that which we said we want. We want to change our public school systems. Well, do you know what changes need to be made in our public school systems? We want to change our local economy. We want to change, you know, the relationships in people of Rockford, the hostility. What can we do? What can we do even in 12 months? And are we willing to do those things? To say you really want something, but you don't know why you want it and you don't know how to make that happen, then really we're not pursuing it and we're not going to get anything done as kings on the earth. We're just talking again. And then you ask again that final question, am I willing to do that which I've just researched and discovered I need to do in order to get that which I really, really want? And nobody can answer that question but you. I can't make you want that. I can't make you make that choice. We can just guide you to those answers. But if you really want it, and you know why you want it, you do the research of how to get it, and then you say, yeah, I'm willing to pay that price, you're gonna get it. It's just a matter of time. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of time. You can also call that sowing and reaping. I know what harvest I want. I know why I want that harvest. I know what seeds I need to sow for that harvest. And so now it's just a matter of time as I sow those right seeds that I'll see that harvest manifest. Come on, somebody. Man, it's just way too practical, Pastor Kevin. I know, but we're gonna get things done because that's what we're about here at the church is raising kings to get things done. This world needs you to get things done. Not to hope things change, not just to want things to change, but to really want it to change, to do the research on how to make change, and then be willing to pay that cost to change. Amen. And until we get serious, then we're just talking. We're not ruling and reigning. And we need to teach you how to rule and reign. When a king wants something done, he figures out how much it's going to cost to build that tower so that he has the money he needs to finish the tower. Amen. And then he's willing to pay that cost and he builds the tower. If you want something done, you're gonna figure out why, you're gonna know how, and you're gonna ask yourself, will I pay it? Amen. So today, we're actually talking about growing grit. Growing more grit. Because some of us, maybe we find ourselves in a place where we're not all that gritty of a person. But you can grow grit. The Bible talks about Paul again, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and this is kind of the beginning of how to grow grit. Paul, the apostle, says this. He says, not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold on of Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Let me explain that, I believe, what Paul's trying to say here. Paul was saying that Christ Jesus laid hold of his life for a reason. Now, I don't believe Paul was insinuating the only reason Jesus laid hold of his life was so that he'd go to heaven, because he goes to heaven by the grace of God. So he's not pressing and laying hold of that. What he was saying was, is there's a call on my life that God has called me to be an apostle to the Gentiles, an apostle of grace. There's a course. There's a race to finish. Do you hear him? That's what he said in 2 Timothy at the end of his life. And what he was saying was, is I now am laying hold of that call, of that ministry, of that vision that God has about why he commandeered my life, brought me into existence for such a time as this, why he's put certain gifts, certain talents, certain thought processes, certain personality into me. He says, Jesus saw something about my life, and he laid hold of me for that purpose. Amen. Not just to go to heaven, but for a purpose. And then Paul says, now I lay hold of that same purpose that Jesus laid hold of me for. There's the question. God has a vision for your life. He has a course for you to run. He has problems he's called you to solve. Amen. He has dominions for you to reign in. Come on, somebody. He has all this will, all this vision, all these plans towards you. He knows what he's thinking about it, but now it's your choice. Will you lay hold of that vision, and will you press to finish and accomplish that vision? That's the deciding denominator. That's the factor we're looking at. Will you get serious about your course? Will you get serious about your goals? Will you get serious about getting something done with your life? Because God gave you free will. He's not going to force you to do it. I choose to lay hold of that cause, that purpose, that vision for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me for. I'm choosing to get serious about it. So what does it mean to lay hold of it? Good question. Glad you asked. To lay hold of it doesn't just mean to know it's there. Yeah, I know there's a call in my life. That's not laying hold of it. Laying hold of it is developing your skills to fulfill that call in your life. Amen? Increasing your knowledge, increasing your ability, increasing your talent, increasing your capacity, your competence to fulfill that thing. So if God's called you to be a tremendous school teacher and an influencer in your school district, then you lay hold of that assignment and you say, I will make myself the best school teacher in this school district. I will study to show myself approved. I will increase my skills and ability. I will ask questions and put myself into mentorship. I will be a servant to my community and to my school. Do you see what I'm saying? That's accepting the call. That's pressing towards the call. That's developing the call and finishing the course. God's called you to start business and be an entrepreneur. God's called you to be an evangelist, whatever it might be. It's you saying, I know what I'm meant to do, and by embracing that call, I begin to build towards that call. I begin to develop intentionally my skills and abilities to accomplish that call on my life. That's getting serious about your call. Studying in that area, practicing in that area, getting mentorship in that area, pushing yourself out into opportunities to perform that area. That's going to get you to the end of the course rather than just talking about, yeah, one day I know I'm supposed to run that race. Yeah, I got a call on my life. I've talked to a lot of people who say they have a call on their life. 5 years later, they're still talking about the call on their life, and they've done nothing to go towards the call of God on their life. Grit. But this is who we are. This is what we have to become. Christ Jesus laid hold of you, my friend. Why? That's the question you got to answer. Why? And now what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? I now am laying hold for that for which Christ Jesus laid a hold of me for. Just a thing to keep in our brains real quickly about grit. Grit can change. Grit can change. Now, let me go backwards in the negative and you'll see how it works in the positive. Do you believe someone can grow from a gritty person, a focused person, a passionate person, into a disinterested, lazy, and full of excuses person? Do you believe that's possible? Have you ever seen anyone that at one time in their life, they were passionate, they were intentional, they were moving forward toward with ambition, and then at some point they began to just stop studying, stop growing, stop pressing, and now years later, they are full of excuses of why they're no longer running the race. I've met people like that. So you see, the idea there is grit can change. It can change from bad, it's changed from good to bad. But if it can change from good to bad, then how many of you know it can go from bad to great? Grit is not a stagnant thing. It is not a talent that just some people have and some people don't have. Grit is about developing who you want to be on the inside, determining what type of a runner, what type of a person you intentionally want to be. Amen. And so you can go from being non-gritty or semi-gritty into being extremely gritty if we just lay hold of it and become determined to be people who finish our race and finish our courses. Amen. So the question today is how? How do I grow grit? If I find myself or found myself quitting a lot, how do I find myself becoming a finisher? How do I grow in the area of grit? Well, first of all, let's start with the concept that every human being has the capacity for good, godly ambition. That you don't have to be a person that has no ambition. That we weren't designed to be people that just sit around and just don't care how our life turns out. That the way God designed us, because God is a God that is full of intentionality and full of vision and is a creator, and he wants to create and he wants to build, and you're made in his image, which means to sit back and say, I have no ambition, I don't really care what happens, that is not our DNA, amen. We do care what happens. We are the salt, we are the light. We wanna be solutions in this planet. We have the heart and the divine nature of God. So even if our family is full of a bunch of people that are full of excuses of why the world is bad and they don't wanna solve it, that's not my family heritage anymore anyway. I've been adopted into a new kingdom type of thinking and a new kingdom type of living, and my king wants to get things done. And you say, well, I didn't have anyone model ambition. I didn't have anyone model going for goals in my life. Well, praise God, you've been brought into a new nature. And in this nature, in this kingdom, we are ambitious, godly ambition. Now, godly ambition is this, a desire to achieve. A desire to achieve goals, a desire to finish courses and races. And that's where it starts, a desire. What do you really want? I love that verse that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Love that. What do you really desire? What do you really want? And we want to accomplish those things, but then desire has to move into action. Too many of us desire for change in our finances, desire for change in our marriage, desire for change even in our own spiritual walk. Desire for people to come to Jesus. A lot of Christians desire for people to know Jesus. But desire must turn into action. Amen. Because desire doesn't change the world. Desire linked with actions change things. Amen. See, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. That's desire. That he gave. He acted. Does that make sense? It wasn't his love for the world that changed the world. It was his love that turned into an act of love that changed the world. Come on, somebody. Man. Desire must turn into action. Amen. Amen. So let me test your grit with a couple questions that I want you to answer for yourselves. A couple questions I want you to answer for yourselves. You should write these things down. This is good stuff. Not just because I'm saying it, but it is good stuff. Test your grit with these statements. Don't answer out loud, but just be thinking internally. In your area of perseverance, question number one, how would you answer this? I am a hard worker and others would agree. Not just you say you're a hard worker, but others at my workplace would be able to compliment or speak well of my work ethic. Yes or no, that's it. There's no in between, there's no maybe, there's no like, not on Tuesdays, you know, but maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm pretty good. I am a hard worker and others would agree. That just kind of helps us understand where we are with our perseverance, our daily getting in the grind, amen? Number two, I finish whatever I begin. Yes or no? I finish whatever I begin. This is one of the most predictive questions about whether or not we have a habit of achieving goals. I finish whatever I begin. I finish books that I start. How many people start, don't raise your hand, start a book and never finish the thing? whether it's reading a book or writing a book. I mean, it just happens. We just start, we don't finish. You've started budgeting programs, but you haven't finished it. You started school of the Bible, but you didn't finish it. Uh-oh, did he go there? Yes, I did. We start things we don't finish. How are we doing? We start goals in January, but how do we do in February, March, April? I finish, what a great goal in our hearts to be able to be a person that says, I finish whatever I start. You know, maybe we start with small goals first to get the habit of being a finisher. Micro habits, amen. I mean, you could sit there and say, I finish my goal of, you know, getting healthy, but you don't start with the goal of, I'm gonna run 5 miles every day when you wake up in the morning and you don't even know where your tennis shoes are. You might start with a micro habit of, I will drink 8 glasses of water a day and I'm gonna do that for 30 days. And then you celebrate that and set another goal. Come on, it's that easy. You have to start somewhere, amen. But you must be honest with where you are. Do I finish what I start? Am I a finisher in the small things? And then I'm gonna grow into being a finisher in the greater things. Talk about your passion. Question, answer to yourself. I have difficulty finishing over a year, over a full year, over a 12-month period of time. I'm okay with doing short-term goals. I'm okay with 1 week at a time. I'm okay with 1 month at a time, but I have a difficult time finishing something I start in January and completing it over a long period of time. Well, let's work on that this next year. This is King's kids. This is people learning how to rule and reign. This is how kings are gonna learn how to finish bigger dreams. See, as we learn how to finish those smaller goals, we can become more effective and efficient in fulfilling the larger ones because God's put ministry in your heart. And guess what? Ministry isn't fulfilled in 3 weeks, whatever that vision or dream is. Things that change the world aren't finished in 1 or 2 weeks. Changing an education system, changing an economy, changing a family line, healing a marriage that's had difficult things, it doesn't change in 1, 2, 3 weeks. It's gonna take months and years. And so we, the kingdom of God, have got to get better and learn how to stick with something for months and years, amen. And even sow into things that may not come to pass until after we die. So that the next generation is blessed. If we don't do it, who will? Come on. It's up to us, amen. Another question, predictive question. Yes or no, my interests change from year to year. Yes or no. Are you a type of individual that every year you're excited about something else rather than sticking with what God told you last year? I liken it unto that, I think it was the cartoon Up with that dog that's like this and all of a sudden he's like, squirrel. Well, maybe God's talking to you about building something, creating something. And if every 6 months there's a whole new vision, there's a whole new dream, there's a whole new plan, first of all, no one can follow that. But you're not really finishing it either. You know, do I consistently change? I get this a lot from the Spirit-filled group. You know, it's like God told them something 6 months ago, and then it got hard, it got long, and then six weeks later, they're like, oh, God called me to something else. I was like, no, he didn't. It just got hard. It just, you didn't see the fruit that you wanted it to happen in 6 months, and so now God's got a new dream for you. Is it possible for God to add to the dream? Yeah, but God is not someone who's confused that didn't know 6 months ago what he was saying, so he says something new every 6 months. When you happen to get bored, oh, that's convenient. Is this making sense? I know it is. You don't have to agree with me. You just sit there and just pretend like you don't know me. That's all right. There are three types of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who stand around wondering what just happened. Which one do you want to be? We someone who makes something happen? Those who watch things happen. And I think that's where the church has been for a long time. See, here's the thing. If the church, the kings of the earth, are not making things happen, then it only leaves the other two options. We're watching things happen or wondering what happened. Doesn't that sound more like the church right now? Come on now. We got to be real. We got to know where we currently are, current reality, in order to finish, to start something new. Because if the kings aren't leading, the darkness is leading. The darkness is making things happen. And then we sit back and say, where did our country go? I'll tell you where it went. It went exactly where it was going because the leadership took it there. Because the kings weren't leading. Amen. Or we're sitting around going, I wonder what happened. I know exactly what happened. The body of Christ wasn't leading. We weren't setting goals and achieving goals. We weren't dreaming big. We were just trying to survive. We weren't living to serve our community. We were living to serve ourselves. There's a whole lot of things here that have happened. And so we fall into one of these three categories. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who stand around wondering what happened. I am choosing personally, and I pray you follow and choose as a church to say, not on our watch anymore. This body of Christ here is going to wake up every day, say, God, give me solutions to this world's problems. Give me answers. Help me to live it, to set those goals, to do the, to find out the cost and to pay that cost to bring transformation into my generation. Amen. There's a graph I want to show you up on the screen, and I want to talk to you about it. On this graph, you'll see that there's the idea of skills, which can go up, and then you see time that goes by. It talks about that distance, that gap of time as the months and weeks and years go by. There's a top line that is our goal. This is who we want to be as gritty people. And the top line is a world-class expert as time goes on. Basically, the idea is this, that the longer you're walking or the longer you're running your race, the better you're getting at running that race. The more skills you're acquiring, the experience is actually benefiting into running the race faster and better and accomplishing even more. See, as time goes by, you're not diminishing, you're climbing that steady ladder of becoming more and more of an expert in that goal, in that dream, finishing your course in your race. Do you understand that? So that's Paul saying, I lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me, the call of God on my life. Now I'm going to intentionally develop new skills. I'm going to intentionally stretch and grow over time. I choose to keep going up and up and up and to fulfill the full vision of God for my life. That's a personal desire in Paul's heart. That's our goal, that over time you're going up and up and up, learning more and more and more, becoming a world-class expert. This middle line is where a lot of people find themselves, and it's called arrested development. And I'm not talking about a TV show. Arrested development. Arrested development means this, that you have the potential to grow more, but you've caged in and arrested your developing process, your development. There's more you could develop, but you've chosen not to. Why? You've become happy and content with where you are. Arrested development. It's the mentality that says, see, in the beginning, I shot up a little bit. I learned some things rather quickly. I've acquired some skills and some successes rather quickly. And now I consider myself some sort of an expert. And once I consider myself kind of an expert, then I begin to shut down the idea that I could still learn more. And there's still more to learn. Amen. And so people become content and complacent in that area of physical and spiritual mental development. You feel competent enough, fine enough. You stop learning. You no longer question if you can do more. And this is where so many times in church, the body of Christ becomes stagnant and stale. It's not that there's not more anointing that you could grow into or more potential. You're made in the image of God. There is limitless skill and talent and anointing and things that God could continue to add to our lives. It's not that God stopped pouring. It's that we've stopped growing. We stopped doing the work. We stopped doing what the cost was to grow in the first place. We stopped studying like we used to study because now we think we know the whole Bible. I remember being a Bible teacher over at Christian Life School here in Rockford. And I would have eighth graders come up to me and they'd say, I already know everything that's in that Bible. Really? You can barely shave. And you think you know everything there is to know about the infinite God? But you see, what it does is we make excuses to stop growing. Because we say that we've hit the limit of something. It's not that you've hit the limit. It's just you're trying to make yourself comfortable where you are. Are you understanding that? It's a decision we make. We stop asking the question, what can I do better? What can I do better? Can I evangelize better? I love Pastor Brock. We were talking last night about this afterwards, talking about a musician. He's a phenomenal musician, don't you think? I love Pastor Brock. I think he's a phenomenal musician. But he's still learning, he's still practicing, he's still getting mentorship, he's still pushing himself. Why? Because he knows he can get even better. Some of our athletes that we love and respect, I love those athletes that are still practicing like it's their first. that they're still getting coaching and counseling. It's good because they know they can keep pushing themselves. There's an excitement in them to say, how much more can I grow? Man, let's let the body of Christ be there again. Rather than saying, oh, I've heard it all. I've seen it all. No, we haven't. We've seen all we've seen that we've seen. But there's more to see. Amen. It's just, are we willing to pay that price to see it? Are we willing to do the work to finish our course? Amen. And then finally, the worst place is when people actually drop out of the race altogether. They ran for a little bit, but because of discouragement, because of lack of growing, typically people are dropping out of the race because they stop growing. They stop advancing. You know, Christianity is not boring. People get boring, but Christianity is not boring. Running the race is not boring. It's boring if you're not learning anything new, if you're not achieving new goals, amen, and growing closer and closer to your dreams and vision. Yeah, I can see where it gets boring, but it's not because the dreams aren't yes and amen, or the promises or the goals aren't the sure outcome of the harvest. It's just we stop sowing the seed towards it somewhere in the middle. And people begin to quit and drop out. But that's our choice. Again, go back to the fact that the devil didn't make me quit. God didn't make me quit. My problems didn't make me quit. I chose to quit. But grit, don't quit. World-class experts take constant effort. And I go back and say, why should I want to be a world-class expert in my calling? You know, it's just a great responsibility statement. And then I'm going to close with this. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse 14. Matthew 25. I'm just going to say it like this. God wants us to become world-class experts, period. It's really not about whether or not you want to be a world-class expert or you want to just have arrested development and stay where you are. Because here's the deal. One of these days, we will stand in judgment and be held accountable for what we did with our dreams, with the talents, with the skills that God puts in our life. So as much as we think we're in charge of our life, yes, we have authority to decide, but the truth is we still are held accountable to whether or not we coasted or we actually continued to build and increase in finishing goals and dreams and things that God put in our lives. Matthew chapter 25, are you there? Verse 14, Jesus teaching about the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and he entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. And immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and he gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more talents. But he received 1 talent, went away, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And the faithful, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping you did not sow, gathering where you have scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you can have back what you gave me. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, I gather where I do not scatter seed, then you ought to have put my money in the bank that when I arrived, I would have received some sort of money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given. He will have an abundance, but to the one who does not have, even that which he does have will be taken away. Now throw out the worthless servant in the outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can we just pause for a minute and say, wow. Our God expects us to increase what he gave us. If he's given you skill, if he's given you ability, if he's given you dreams, if he's given you a race to run, it is God's expectation that you work towards world-class expert. Developing those skills, increasing in your abilities, growing and your competencies and all of those things, getting mentorship and having people speak into that so that you can keep growing year after year after year. God will hold us accountable if we say, no, I got pretty high when I was about 40 and I just kind of coasted till I died. The Lord's going to say, why? I expected more. And so it's our decision. Will you lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of you for? Will you do the work to finish your race and to finish it well? It's not just about running. The Bible says run the race to win the thing. Amen? There's an attitude. There's a mindset. There's an excellence in it. You're kings and queens in the earth. You're finishers. The things that God puts in your heart need to be done, and they're going to take work and effort to get done. And it's going to take you increasing in skills to get it done. But God expects that of us, but he wouldn't expect anything of us that we weren't capable of. He wouldn't expect anything of us that he wasn't going to help us do. And he wouldn't expect anything of us that was going to hurt us or harm us. But in us living bigger and accomplishing more, how many of you know your whole family and life is just going to go up? Amen. But when we coast or when we diminish, it causes our life and our family to go down. Come on now. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for grit. I thank you for assignment, mission. I thank you for your hand upon our lives. I pray today that if any of us have found ourselves slipping into a non-gritty, kind of quitting, excuse-driven lifestyle, that today we repent of that and we ask that you help us to start on the path of setting goals and achieving goals, of doing work and research to find out how to get to that which you put in our heart to get to. And Lord, I thank you that we are able, and with your help, we can do it. I thank you that you give us supernatural strength and that we have the might and the abilities of God helping us do these things as well. And even in our weakness, we're made strong in you. And so I thank you that you help us be finishers, Lord. If we've been quitters, if we've had all these excuses, I pray today it stops and you turn us into a kingdom of kings and priests who finish what we start. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.